All right, beloved, we're here today bringing a message to you. This is Friday, not normally the Lord's Day that we all assemble here at Lone Mountain. Due to this coronavirus, we have taken steps of precaution to close the church for a couple weeks. We won't be back till Palm Sunday, April 5th. But I'm bringing a message to you. Hopefully it is a message of encouragement to us. At a time like this, we need encouragement. And I'm here to tell you that the Lord is who we need to hang on to. In fact, that's what I want to speak to you about this morning that I'm recording this, is hang on. That's the title of my message. Hang on. Help is coming. And our text will be from the book of Psalms 121. And before we read the passage, we have a word of prayer and get into the message. I would like to remind you that Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." So he tells us not to be afraid, not to be scared, not to let anything come upon us that just cripples us because the circumstances are bad. This coronavirus, I have to admit to you, is and can be scary. Because you don't know who's carrying it. You don't know if you have it. In fact, they say that a person that does come down with it won't have any symptoms for a couple weeks. And then they're telling us it might be a year, year and a half before we have a vaccine for it. So, you know, again, even though it can bring about fear, can make us afraid, we need to remember letting not our hearts be troubled. So again, the good news is this. God is on his throne. Nothing's taking him by surprise. He's in control. He's allowed this situation for a reason. No, I don't have a special revelation. I can't tell you why we're having this, but he's allowed it. My prayer is it'll open people's eyes. It'll make them be reminded that, hey, one of these days he's coming back for his children, the church, and when they're gone, there's going to be tribulation and great tribulation. The first 3.5 years after the church is gone, the Antichrist will come in on the scene, and he's going to have the answer to all of the things that's going on. And just look at the way things are now. Las Vegas is pretty much locked down. Airports closed. Groceries wiped off the shelves. And you think that's bad now that we're living in those times and we can see those things? Think what it'll be when the church is gone. So, again, I want to encourage you this morning that we need to hang on because help is coming. So if you got your Bibles, we want to look at Psalms 121 and we want to read the whole psalm. There's only 8 verses. So with that said, let's read them. It is a song of degrees and it says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, and he shall preserve thy soul." Verse 8 declares, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for this time you've given us. Father, now as we bow before your throne, grace and mercy, Lord, we just look to you. You are our help. Lord, scary times, but Jesus, you told us not to be troubled, not to let our hearts be afraid, just to look to you. We believe in God, we're to believe also in you because, after all, you are God, Lord. And Lord, we just trust that you'll just watch over us and protect us, Lord, our church family and our families. Pray, Lord, you'll just protect our community, our city, our state, in this country. And Lord, again, you're sovereign. You allowed this to happen for a reason. And Father, I just pray eyes will be opened. Your Holy Spirit will deal with hearts during this time. And those that don't know you as Lord and Savior will come to know you through this dilemma. Father, I pray for the sick and the afflicted in this body. Lord, I pray you touch them and restore them to a much-wanted health. Lord, I pray for the physical needs. Pray for the material needs. But most of all, I pray for the spiritual needs, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'll just intervene and your will be done. I pray you'll give me the words to say and you'll just bless the message and use it for your glory. Lord, cleanse me and wash me. Make me a useful vessel. May this be a message of encouragement to our folks. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, hang on. Help is coming. The superscription to this psalm tells us that it's a song of degrees. That is, that this is a psalm that worshipers would sing as they made their way to Jerusalem to participate in the three great annual feasts, which were Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. With that in mind, it's plain to see that this is a pilgrim's song, and it tells of the dangers of the journey and of the help God provides along the way. Aren't you thankful God provides help along the way? Verse 1 is not a declaration of hope, but rather it is a cry of despair. The psalmist is telling us that danger is lurking in the hills above and is waiting for an opportunity to pounce upon the weary traveler. When this happens, where can the pilgrim turn for help? Well, the psalmist answers this question by reminding us that the Lord is our help. May I remind you this morning that we are pilgrims. Our pilgrimage began the very moment that we received Jesus as Lord and Savior. And it will continue until we step out of this life and into eternity. My, what glories await us when we finally get home. Along the way, however, there are dangers lurking all around. There are thieves that would rob us of peace, joy, and victory. There are sins that would quench the fire of God in our souls. There are problems that would strip us of the glory and power of God. I don't know about you all, but I have been through these difficult times myself, times when danger surrounded my life, and I wondered where my help would come from. You might be sure today. If so, then allow me to encourage you with this psalm. If you're struggling today or just aware that problems might just be around the next corner, then this psalm is for you. And believe me, we do not know what a day holds. We don't know what we're going to face tomorrow, but we do know this. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we can praise God that He is there. So let's join the psalmist for a few moments as he tells us about the source of help who is greater than any problem imaginable. Let's look at verses 2-4 again. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. Look at verse 2 again. He is our Creator. The psalmist knew that he would not come from the hills. In times past, the hills had been a place of idolatry and false religion. No help could be found in the false. The psalmist turned his attention to the Lord. He knew that the real source of his help was Almighty God. He isn't referring to a friend or an ally, but to the Creator of the universe. The idea is this: if God can make this world, then surely He has the power to take care of me. What a truth, beloved. Our helper is none other than the very one who stood on the edge of nothing and made everything with the word of His power. He is able to help you and me, according to Ephesians 3:20. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 reads, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He is not only our Creator, He is our confirmer. This verse tells us that the Lord will not allow our foot to slip. God knows how easy it is for us to slip into sin and into discouragement. And there's a lot of folks that are living in sin. There's a lot of folks that are discouraged today. But yet we must remember that He is ever with us and has promised to sustain us with His presence and His power. We need to remember that the Lord has never made a house that fell nor a foundation that crumbled. There will be times when we feel like giving up and giving in, but we need to realize that He has lifted us out of the miry clay of this world and has established our goings. We are constantly being reinforced and helped steady by the mighty hand of God. What this means to us is that we cannot, what this means to us is that we can count on the Lord to help us along the way. In fact, the New Testament depicts the Lord in the person of the Holy Spirit as a comforter, John 16:13. He's pictured as one who comes along beside us to offer help and assistance during our journey. He helps us to keep on standing for the Lord. And beloved, I want to encourage you. He is our comforter. He is our help during this trying time. You can rely on Him. He's there to help us and give us assistance. Don't give up. Do not give in. He is our constant helper. Again, look at verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He not only does the Lord know that it's easy for us to slip, He also knows it's easy for us to sleep. There are times when we grow weary and we want to rest. There are times when we let down our guard and get caught napping. But not so with the Lord. He is ever awake and ever active on our behalf. He doesn't weary. He doesn't tire. He doesn't fall asleep at the switch. Therefore, there's no need for you to worry. There's no need for you to fret. There's no need for you to lose one moment's sleep at any time because of this problem or the other. God is ever awake and is constantly on the job. What a blessing to know that we can depend upon Him. Lamentations 3:23 says, "Great is thy faithfulness." Let me remind you, He's not going to fail us. He's with us. I know a lot of folks have fears. A lot of people don't know what's going on. A lot of people are asking the question, where's God in this? He's on His throne, but He's not asleep. He's not napping. He's watching over us. He's going to take care of us, beloved. Let me give you an illustration. Back in the days of World War II, the Germans were bombing London all night and every night. After one terrible attack, the people of London began to search through the rubble, looking for the dead and the injured. After a while, all had been accounted for but one old grandmother, a Mrs. Smith, if you will. They searched everywhere for her, and finally someone found her in her bedroom, asleep in her bed. They were shocked and asked her, "Mrs. Smith, how could you sleep with all those bombs dropping all around?" Her answer is priceless. She said, "Well, the Bible says that he who keeps Israel never slumbers nor sleeps. I decided there was no use in both of us staying up. Amen. So I just went to sleep and left it in the Lord's hands." Beloved, again, He'll neither slumber nor sleep. That's the source of our help, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at the strength of our help. Verse 5 reads, "The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. He protects us from our enemies." This verse tells us that the Lord is our shade upon the right hand. In ancient times, warriors carried two items into battle. One was the sword and the other was the shield. Normally, the shield was carried by the left hand and the sword in the right. This meant that the right side was vulnerable to attack since there was no shield of protection upon it. The psalmist is telling us that God takes up a deliberate defensive position to protect us when we are most vulnerable. We never know from where our attacks will come. Sometimes we find ourselves attacked in areas where we are weak. Our enemy knows all about our weaknesses. Other times we may find that we're attacked in areas where we are strongest. Elijah is renowned for his courage. He fled from the woman Jezebel. Moses' great strength was his meekness. Yet in anger, he smote the rock and was forbidden to enter the promised land. Abraham's greatest strength was his faith in the Lord, yet he went into Egypt in pure unbelief. The whole point is this. We will be attacked, and we will never know where the attack will come from, but it never catches God off guard. Understand, beloved, He's there to protect us. He's always ready to shield us and to protect us from our enemies. Look at verse 6 with me, please. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He protects us from the elements. This verse, the psalmist speaks of two possible sources of harm that were common to the ancient soldier. One was sunstroke, a dangerous condition where the body became overheated and shut down. And if you live here in Las Vegas, you know it's dangerously hot during the summer, and it can cause sunstroke. This condition could be fatal. The moon was moonstroke, believed by the ancients to just be as dangerous. Moonstroke, unlike sunstroke, did not affect the body, but the mind. In ancient times, mental illness was thought to be caused by the moon. This is where we get the word lunatic to refer to someone who has a mental disturbance. Beloved, the devil loves to attack the mind. He loves to put thoughts of doubt in our minds that we can't count on God, that we can't depend upon Him. But beloved, the whole idea is this is what the psalmist is saying. While we're subject to attack in our lives, we're also subject to attacks in our bodies and in our minds. However, just as God will guard us against the attack of the enemy from the outside, He will guard us from the attack on the inside as well. Whether the attack is open or secret, whether it comes by day or in the darkness of night, beloved, be sure that God is aware of where you are and of what's happening. And He will always be there to protect you, to guard you, and to give you the resources you need to stand in the day of battle. God is our strong tower. Our greatest gift in troublesome times is having Him to flee to. Psalms 91:4. And look at verses 7 and 8, the security of our help. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. And from this time forth, and even for evermore. Let's look at the security of our help. Look at verse 7. We are preserved from evil. These bodies are much like volcanoes. At any moment, the sin that is pent up in us can burst forth and commit any sin imaginable. This flesh which we carry around is utterly depraved. How can we ever hope to live for God? The answer lies in the Holy Spirit. When we are saved, He moves in. When He comes with all the resources necessary to overcome temptation and to say no to sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to sin? It requires no effort at all. Why? Well, one, we're born with a bent in that direction. Two, we like it. And three, we're good at it. However, the Lord will help us overcome evil in this life if we have that desire in our hearts. He will protect us from the evil one. Listen, God knows your heart. He knows my heart. And if we truly have a desire to overcome sin in our lives, He will help us. Verse 8 says, we're preserved for eternity. Let's read it one more time. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. In this verse, the psalmist, reminds us that the Lord will keep us while we're here. We're kept by His power, according to 1 Peter. And that He will continue this ministry throughout eternity. Ours is a priceless, endless guarantee. This is simply a reminder of the wonderful doctrine of the security of the believer. In Jesus, we're preserved forever. I'd like to close with this one little story. It was about a man lived up in the Klondike, and as you know, up there, those parts of Canada get very, very cold, and the winter's very, very harsh. And he came to a little lake, and in order to get to the other side to where he was going, he would have to walk on the ice because the lake was frozen over. And, you know, there was doubts in his mind. Is this ice going to hold me as I go across? So he thought for a few moments. And he said, well, I won't walk. I will get on my hands and my knees, and I will just crawl to the other side. So with that decision, he began. And he got on all fours, and he began to move one hand and then the other, one knee and the other. And anyways, he got about halfway across. And the whole time, even though the ice wasn't cracking, he had doubts in his mind that it was going to hold him. In fact, when he was about in the middle of that lake, about halfway done with crossing over, fear came upon him. And he thought, oh my goodness, if it begins to crack, there's no way I can ever make it back. I'm going to drown. I'm going to be done for. But just as soon as that thought had entered his mind, in the background, he heard this great thunder behind him. And as he turned, he looked, and it was a team of Clydesdale horses pulling a wagon. And as they came across that lake and passed him by and went to the other side, he looked and he thought within himself, why would I doubt you? Lord, I had prayed. I know you're in control of my life. Why would I doubt you? You know, that's how life is. We know God is there. We know God's on his throne. We know we belong to God. We've been born again. But we're just like that guy trying to cross that frozen river. You see, we get on all fours and we begin to crawl and we tap, tap, tap and stop. Tap, tap, tap and stop. Signifying our doubts. Beloved, God is on his throne. Our help is on the way. During this crossing, this crisis, I'm sorry, I can't even speak. This crisis, don't fear a thing. Put your faith in God. Hold to his everlasting hand, and he will get us to the other side, beloved. So I'm grateful that I have these promises for my journey. What about you? I'm glad that I do not have to look to this ever-changing for my help and my security. Look to this world ever-changing for my help and my security. There's a great God in heaven who's interested in everything that happens in my life. My burdens are his burdens. My problems are his problems. My worries are his worries. My duty and your duty is only to trust him. And his duty is to take care of you and me. He's always performing his duty. Beloved, understand, he's always doing what's best for you and me. Question is, am I performing mine? Do you need help from the Lord today? If so, then come to him and let him meet the need you have. Beloved, again, our help is coming. Things aren't as bleak as they could be. It's going to get a whole lot worse for the lost. The church one day is going to hear the trumpet, and we're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air. But those that are left behind, this is just a little glimpse and foretaste of what it could be like when there's nothing in the stores on the shelf. There's nothing but pestilence and death. So I urge you, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, come to the saving knowledge of Christ before it's eternally too late. Lone Mountain, God bless you. Me and Lori love you. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you that we have the honor and privilege of being able to serve the Lord in church capacity as your pastor. We're also thankful for each and every member of this church and your families. We have the privilege and honor of serving the Lord together, waiting for that trumpet to sound and the Lord's triumphant return. God bless you. Till next time, we'll see you. Amen.